This episode is sponsored by our friends at Fujifilm North America. Their X-Series digital cameras and lenses may just give you that creative edge you're looking for in your portraits and events. You'll find everything from 40 megapixel image quality to 40 frames per second burst, plus unique in-camera film simulation modes and effortless usability. Click the link in the episode description to find the full range. There has never been a better time to invest in your passion, so make sure to click the link. Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. You're listening to the Portrait System Podcast.
I don't think you can do this job unless you are genuinely interested in people. And I think that's the part of the connection that we can, you know, that shows in the pictures. Because once you make people feel comfortable around you, they will let the guard down and you can create what, you know, capture that beauty that we do.
This is the Portrait System Podcast, a show that helps portrait photographers and people hoping to become one navigate the world of photography, business, money, and so much more. We totally keep it real. We share stories about the incredible ups and the very difficult downs when running a photography business. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and the point of this podcast is for you to learn actionable steps that you can take to grow your own business and also to feel inspired and empowered by the stories you hear. Today's guest is Lenka Jones, and she is the most lovely person with a great story to share. Lenka lives in the UK, where she grew her business, and I know we've had a lot of requests to have more people on from the UK, so I'm so glad you get to hear from Lenka today. Lenka shares with us what it's been like for her on her whole journey as a photographer and what makes this all work for her in the UK. She plays such a supportive and kind role in our community, and learning more about her was just so wonderful. Okay, let's get started with Lenka Jones. Hi, Lenka. How are you?
Hi, Nikki. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for doing video with us. I know it's not as easy like if we're just just sound instead of video, so I appreciate it.
Of course,
so
there's no request.
Lenka, I've known you for a couple years. I mean, at least like online a couple years, because you have been a mentor, supporter, just, you know, for Sue Bryce Education. You've been such a good help to us. And I just thought it would be really cool to tell your story because you built your business from the ground up and you've just been such a great contributor in our group. And as much as I know about you and everything, I don't know your whole story. So I'm excited to hear more.
Of course, yes. Well, shall we start?
Yeah. Okay. So let's start. Well, I guess, when did you start photography? And was this your very first career?
Yes, no, that's a great question. So photography wasn't a career that I have chosen to start with. You see, I come from a family of creatives. My mom is a first female film director in Slovakia, and my dad is a scriptwriter. Both of my sisters have written books, and yeah, somehow this writing gene hasn't been passed on to me. So when it came to choosing a school, I didn't really know what to do. I didn't feel terribly creative. And I went on to study political science out of all things, which is totally weird. But what attracted me to this study was that it was a new study. And I was really into learning English. And half of the tuition was taught in English by native speakers. So I was like, yeah, that sounds like something I could study. It wasn't terribly exciting. And I did my bachelor's degree, and then I went on to study, I did my master's in marketing, which was a little bit more interesting, but still wasn't the thing. I think it's so hard when you're 17 or 18 and you have to choose a school and decide yeah. what your life is going to be like. Like, you have no clue what you want to do with
totally.
The rest of your life, do you? It's hard
yeah.
to... I started working for my mom, actually. So during the studies, I would go and help my mom out. She, in the meantime, has been made redundant after the Iron Curtain fell. The Slovak film industry, which was by then owned by the state, basically went private from one day to another. So all the people who were working there, all the creatives have been made redundant. So they had to start freelancing. And wow. It's very hard when you have no clue what to do with yourself. So my mom opened the casting agency at the time, and I started working there. And that's how I slowly, started shifting towards different directions as well.
So yeah, it is. It's interesting when you turn into a freelancer like that and you have to learn how to run all aspects of a business. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so that kind of opened your eyes to the creativity and like the creative careers. Yeah.
Absolutely. And because I was helping my mom, she didn't, and that's the thing, like you said, she was 50, I think, at the time, and she never knew business. All of a sudden she was, standing there thinking, okay, what am I going to do? And I'm going to start a business. So she took over a actors database and extras database in the film. And she started a casting agency, and I started working with her, during my breaks from school, and I would be translating for her, and I would, just help her with extras and other little admin things to earn my pocket money. And what was interesting about this time was that in the 90s, after the whole Velvet Revolution, the big American productions started looking for different countries where they would come and shoot films. So I spent most of my 20s on the sets working on big film projects with George Clooney, Nicole Kidman, Colin Firth, and it was amazing.
Wow.
Yes. I absolutely loved it. And at the time, because I was the only English-speaking casting director, I was quite busy. So this is what I did to start with. But it took a few more years before I started, dipping into photography. It wasn't something that would come naturally to me. So I was self-taught. And the way I started was also a little bit different, because as I was working for my mom, it was a family business. And at the time, I was working as a modeling scout as well. So we would have modeling scouts coming from a lead of Ford agencies coming to Slovakia twice a year. And they would be looking for new faces that would have potential to be models. And we would send these young girls to the local photographer, who would take some test shots, because at the time they needed a book. I don't know whether you remember it. It's like a portfolio, but it was... The originals were actual printed photos, and they would do the whole portfolio to show to a client what they look like. So we would spend money with the local photographer who would do these test shoots. And I just said to my mom one day, listen, we're spending all this money. Why don't I try to take some pictures and maybe, we can do it that way and just cut some costs.
Yeah.
So that's, some self-taught. I just picked up a camera, I took some pictures and they liked them. And that's how it all started. This was my late 20s, but I wasn't doing it as a profession at the time. I was just helping my mom, every now and then with a few pictures of girls. Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So you got the camera, and then at what point did you decide this was your career?
So it wasn't until 2008 when I just moved from LA with my husband. I was expecting my son. And I started thinking about, what could I do? Obviously, I had a good career as a casting director back home, but, I didn't want to start from scratch having a little baby and commuting to London. So I was just thinking, what is it that I could do that would be, child-friendly, family-friendly, and something that would give me that flexibility to be a mum and at the same time being able to have a career? So I was 7 months pregnant when I decided that this is, I could actually pick up my camera again and start shooting. But I don't know, for some reason, I thought wedding photography would be a good idea. So I didn't have a portfolio at the time, but I just thought, okay, I have to make it happen. So I have asked my sister-in-law, a few of her friends who have recently got married, whether they would be willing to pose for me. And these were the people who recently got married and would still have their wedding dresses. So it was I just picked the day. I said, let's do it. I called all of these people. They would put on their wedding dresses. I have asked local florist to do a couple wedding bouquets to create the whole scene. We used the the whole gorgeous field behind the backyard. Mm-hmm. And we were fun photographing these couples, and that's how I created my first portfolio. And I booked a wedding right after that at the gorgeous Dorchester Hotel in London, which is really amazing venue. And I don't think my clients even knew this was my first wedding, because that's definitely not something that I shared with them at the time. But yeah, that's how I started. And I was quite lucky because I started developing relationship with venue. So every time I would do a venue, I would do a wedding, I would produce a beautiful book from the wedding, and I would gift it to the venue. And that way it was a win-win, because they would have a beautiful wedding book with pictures from the brides and showcasing their beautiful venue. So that got me really busy, and that's how I got on the list of recommended suppliers, which was basically giving me work for over 10 years. Yes.
Very cool. Okay. So, and I want to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, just about how that extra service piece that you can give to your clients, and your clients, I mean, obviously the couple for the wedding is your main client, but those vendors, they're kind of your clients too. And I love that you were like, I'm going to give great service to them too with the book or whatever. So I'm curious if that has spilled over into your portrait business. But, you know, I realized I didn't ask you to tell people where you live and where your business is. So maybe just really quickly do that, and then we'll jump back to this the service piece and how that works with your portrait clients.
Of course. I was born in Slovakia, former Czechoslovakia, mm-hmm. and now I live in the UK. I live in Windsor, and my studio is in Bray. So, yes.
So you live in the UK right now, and every so often we'll get people say things like, oh, we can't do this in the UK, or we can't do it in a different country, or you have to be in LA or like San Francisco to be able to charge these prices or whatever. That was another kind of reason why I wanted to have you on, is to show that you are a good example of someone who is doing this in the UK. So, okay, let's what we were talking about before about service. So how do you feel like what you learned in the wedding industry and just, you know, building those relationships and providing great service, how do you feel like that has helped you with your portrait business?
Well, I believe when you come from a place of service, it's a good start, because rather than just thinking, you know, what can I get from you? When you come from the place of service and say, okay, how can I serve you better? What can I do for you so that you will trust me and recommend me to your clients? And very often people say, oh, but why would I do a free shoot for someone? This is the reason, because okay, it costs you your time, but you are investing in a relationship. You're investing in something that can, you know, bring you more clients, and you're building this trust with venues who will then happily recommend you to their clients, because they know you, they know your work, they know that, you know, you're professional. And that's why I think sometimes it's important to think, not what can I get from you, but how can I serve you better? What can I do for you to start with? And that goes,
absolutely,
with aspects of life, not just portraits.
So yeah, it goes back to the quote from Maya Angelou, where it's like, people, they will forget what you said. Wait, what is it? Hang on. Okay, they'll forget what you said, they'll forget what you did, but they won't forget how you made them feel. And I think that is just so, so, so important. So it just really made me think about that when you said you went above and beyond to make these great relationships with the vendors. Now, this isn't to say that we should just be giving away the farm and just constantly doing things for free or whatever, but there's a strategic way to market that and to, you know, to utilize these sort of shoots and things that you do for people. I have a feeling that you're doing a lot of this in your portrait business too. So is there anything that you can share about how you build those relationships with your clients? You know, how do you make people feel special and want to refer you, I guess?
I think it goes back to what you just said, Nikki, that people will remember how you made them feel. And I think the huge part of what we do is giving people experience. It's seeing them and just creating that space where we can allow them to be themselves and, you know, relax and have that guard come down and capture their beautiful light and the essence of them. And I think that is, for a lot of people, just the fact that they are being seen and that they are being acknowledged and being able to capture that, I think it's plays a massive role in what we do. And I think naturally when you feel good about an experience, you know, you want to shout it from the rooftops, because mm-hmm. that's what we do. And I think as women, we talk to our friends and we want others to have the same experience. And I think it's something that humans in general do. They just they're likely to share the good news, and those people and those clients who have that experience see it straight away. Even when they change their profile picture, you see how much love they all of a sudden get from their friends, and they get that little bit of confidence boost. And naturally, everybody's going to start asking, who did your pictures? And they'll say, yeah, Nikki did them. And you get 5 referrals from there. And those people are going to become the best evangelists for your business, because they are not going to keep it to themselves. And I think, you know, we all love when somebody recommends someone. It's, and we don't have to just do the research. We, you know, it's so much more powerful. And I think once somebody knows you and your business, they are like 15 times more likely to come back to you. And if your girlfriend tried you, then of course, you know, she will want to have that same kind of experience that you've had, or her friend, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you said you did weddings for about 10 years. Is that right? Are you done with weddings now?
Absolutely. There is absolutely no way. There's no way in hell I would go back.
Yeah. What made you decide you were done with weddings and that you were going to transition into portraits only?
So to be honest with you, Nikki, I enjoyed shooting weddings to start with, and it was a great way to make money. I loved the fact that you would know in advance how much money approximately you're making.
Right.
But then you would have, it's seasonal. So you knew that, again, then there would be months when you will not know where the money's coming from. And those were the months that we would normally do acting headshots or every now and then events. Not so much, because I wasn't really an event photographer. I didn't enjoy it. So it would be headshots, clients. And I remember, you know, getting clients in the door with their mom or their sister who would accompany them. And every now and then I would manage to get them in front of a camera and I would take pictures of them together as a little bonus. And they would love the pictures and they would say, oh my goodness, you know, these are the best pictures I've ever seen of myself. And I remember thinking then, like, oh my goodness, how could I make this, you know, work for everyday women? Because obviously, you know, actresses and models need pictures, and you know, they even if they like them, they will just say, oh, it's another beautiful picture of myself. But they've seen many of those, but for their mom or for their sister, it was the first time they could see that. And I was just thinking, you know, how could I make it happen? What sort of reason does a woman need to have to come and have this experience, other than being a bride or actress who doesn't need headshots? So when I came across Sue Bryce's, I think it was the video, the Light That Shines with beautiful Jill, I knew
Jill.
That, you know, Jill, sorry, Jill, I felt like I manifested Sue into my life. And I, for the first time, saw this is how I finally saw that it actually is not just a dream. This is something that, you know, can be a business, and a great business, because I found, like, this is the purpose, that this is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. There's something that we've been talking about a lot lately, Sue and I, and just within what she's teaching, is to really fall in love with what you do, to fall in love with your portfolio, to really just feel passionate about the demographic or the genre, or, you know, whatever speaks to you. And it's amazing how you can come across something like that, and it's just time. And you may have seen a beautiful video before or something, but maybe you just weren't quite in that place where it was, you know, you were ready for it. But I love, first of all, The Light That Shines with Jill is just such an incredibly powerful, beautiful. I mean, she was one of my closest friends in the world, so of course I have that kind of bias, but I think a lot of people felt that way. and when they saw it. And if you haven't seen it yet, if you're listening or watching and you haven't seen The Light That Shines, if you just Google The Light That Shines, Sue Bryce or Jill in Paris or whatever, you'll be able to see it. But it really is. It's something that it's so powerful in so many ways. One, like you said, what reason does a woman need to have photos of her done? And it's like, gosh, so if you don't know the story about Jill, Jill had breast cancer and she passed away in 2016. But it's like, you shouldn't have to wait until you have cancer or until, you know, only just for your wedding for photos or whatever. It's like, there are so many different beautiful reasons to be photographed and to have these portraits and photos just to like, not only for yourself, but for your family and your, for your friends. And anyways, I'm so glad that, that The Light That Shines gave you that sort of just idea to move forward with your own business. And I'm wondering if you can tell people, what is it that your business looks like now? Like what, who are you photographing? Who's your sort of demographic that you fell in love with shooting?
Well, obviously, last 12 months, it wasn't exactly the times when we were allowed to photograph clients. So that was, I do miss that, and I can't wait to come out of the lockdown and going back to the job that I love so much.
Right.
But I would say that my typical client would be a mum who would come. Yeah. Have a treat for herself. Sometimes it's a milestone birthday that is the tipping point, but a lot of my clients have been following my work for years, you know, and I can see that these are the people who are following me since, you know, 2016 or 17, and then one day they see that post that resonates with them and they will go, okay, this is the time when I'm want to shoot the when I want to do this because I want to do it for myself. And because I give them a reason to not just celebrate themselves, but bring the rest of the family. And it almost feels like a great reason, because it's not, oh, I'm having my pictures done. It's, oh, it's a family photo shoot. Because, you know, she would come on her own, she would have her hair and makeup, we would have a few outfits. And then towards the end, the children and the husband would come so that we can have a nice family pictures too. So it most of the time it's either a mom who will bring the rest of the family, or I have a lot of clients who are just, you know, who want to celebrate themselves. They have their 60th or 50th or 70th birthday, even, who want to have that experience and just celebrate who they are now and celebrate it with a photo shoot, which I think is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah. You said something that I think is really important. Just like when you saw The Light That Shines, that resonated with you and you were like, okay, this is what I want to do. And I think it's important for people to understand that that's one of the important things about marketing is consistency. And it might not be the post that you did last year that this potential client saw. It might not be the 100 posts following that they saw that made them decide it was time. But maybe it was 101st post that you did that they finally are like, okay, it's my time, I'm ready. And I think that's why marketing is such a long game, and how we have to continue to be just really, really clear about who we're marketing to, because whoever we're trying to attract, whether it's families or maternity or newborns or whatever, we have to put it out there consistently so that they can relate to what we're doing. You know, whoever it is that you're trying to market to needs to look at those photos and those posts and think like, yes, this is me. I want this. And I feel like that's something that you do really well in your marketing.
Thank you, Nikki. I think you need to be consistent, and that's the key. Even during the whole pandemic, I would still not maybe post every day, not sometimes even once a week, but, you know, I would constantly try to communicate with my audience, because I know that they are there, and I know that they are going through the same thing. We all were going through the same thing, and it almost felt sometimes that those little posts were, you know, giving them something to look forward to. And I do have clients who say, oh, you know, once this is over, I just want to celebrate with a nice photo shoot and just have something nice to look forward to. And Consistency is important, and you need to be clear on that message. You need to know who your client is, how to talk to her, where to find her, and I, for me personally, it needs to resonate with me as well, because I'm treating my clients the same I would treat myself. So if it's something that would resonate with me, I'm assuming that's something that will be easily translated to other people, if you like.
Speaking of marketing, how do you market? How are you getting most of your clients in the UK? And I know that there has been the pandemic and lockdown and everything, but speak as though like prior to and, you know, after. This is going to be over at some point. So tell me a little bit about your marketing and how it works for you.
Okay, so building relationships again. In the UK, I am member of a few Facebook groups that are local, like, you know, Windsor Parents or Maidenhead Gossip Girls. And in every group, you have one day a month where you can advertise. So consistently, regardless of, you know, the month, I would always post every month religiously. And as the time goes by, people will chime in because, you know, some of the members have already been photographed by me and they will say, oh, you know, I've had some pictures. Even using, I'm strategically creating like a gallery of 50 pictures. I think 50 is the max, where I would include my before and afters. I would include different demographics, different shapes and sizes, you know, some families. So I will just do like a very eclectic selection of images so everybody finds what they're looking for. And I will tag those people who are already in the group. And because I'm doing that, they will normally like it and comment it. And obviously more comments and likes you get, the algorithm is pushing it. And then people will say, oh, I've seen your post in here and there, and they know mine. And that's the funniest thing. Even when I went to a few networkings, people already knew my name and they would say, yeah, you that expensive photographer, which is funny. They never even inquired about a photo shoot, but they know about me. So, and that's what is building a brand, isn't it? It's what people say when you're not in a room. That's how you're building your brand. So, and I don't mind being the most expensive photographer in my area, because when people are looking for the cheapest, I'm not their choice. But if they're looking for the best, then, you know, hopefully they will call me, because that's where I'm at.
Absolutely.
In the market.
Yeah. Once people are talking about you like that, and they know who you are when you walk in the room in these networking groups and that sort of thing, that's when you know you're doing something right. And again, this is a long game. You know, obviously that didn't happen overnight, I'm assuming. I mean, if it did, that would be incredible, you know, amazing. Yeah, pretty unheard of. I mean, I can think about when I first started going to networking groups and no one knew who I was. I was nervous and I'm thinking, how am I going to, you know, get people to talk about me and make a name for myself? And I know I keep saying this, it's like beating a dead horse, but I hate that expression. But anyways, it's like, you have to build those relationships. So for people who are introverted, I know that sounds scary and, you know, not fun, but man, you really can do it whether or not you are introverted or extroverted, because if you can make it all about them and ask questions about them, you can relationship build without having to be a total extrovert. I mean, do you think that you're an extrovert or an introvert?
Oh my goodness, I'm an absolute introvert.
You are, okay.
So it has been hard for me to just get out of my comfort zone and do this. But like with everything, you know, more you do it, the better you get at it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it doesn't come naturally. Like, you know, even speaking doesn't come naturally to me. I've always been very shy child, so it has been, you know, going on like that for years. But after I started my own business, and you know, you can't not talk to people, so I do get my introvert time when I'm after the photo shoot. Like, I need to be on my own in a quiet room, nobody talks to me. But when I'm with my clients, I just, you know, bring it on, and I do what I have to do, and then I enjoy it, because I don't think you can do this job unless you are genuinely interested in people. And I think that's the part of the connection that we can, you know, that shows in the pictures, because once you make people feel comfortable around you, they will let the guard down, and you can create what, you know, capture that beauty that we do. So I think it's, you know, just get out of your comfort zone little by little, and just build those relationships, because you can't really, I don't think you can work in this business if you are not willing to connect with people, because, you know, those people often are nervous and a little bit anxious. Like, everybody is different. Some people absolutely love being photographed, but not everybody is like that. And by being an introvert, I think you can feel what it's like to be in their shoes, and you can make them feel comfortable, because you can say, I know, you know, you're nervous. I know that, you know, this might be a bit weird, but trust me, I've got you. I know what you're going through, and let's just, you know, I'll walk you through it, and I will just gently guide you through it. You'll love it. And that's a win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's another thing that people say is like, oh, I'm an introvert. So, you know, networking meetings and that sort of thing is, it's too hard for me, or I don't like it, or whatever. I don't really know many people who do like it. But the point is, and the reason I wanted to talk so much about relationship building is because I know you're really good at it. And I know that you're not like the classic extrovert type person, but you're still making it work. And you found groups in the UK to go to, and you built those relationships, starting with weddings into portraits. And it's just such an important thing in order to keep those referrals going and people talking about you. So I love it. Okay. So, but I want to talk a little about pricing and just how you structure your packages, because again, people will say we can't do this in the UK. So I'm curious, can you tell us a little bit about your pricing and, you know, if you know it, your average sale and that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. So my average sale at around when I'm allowed to work was around 2,400.
Wow.
Which is great. But sometimes obviously it's pounds.
Okay. Yep.
That's
amazing.
It was a little bit less in the last few months, obviously, but before it was about, you know, 2,200 to 2,400 average. I need to go back to my numbers.
Wow.
But sometimes you have clients who just do one photo, and then you have clients who have the collection of 30. So it is what it is. But I feel that it's slowly but surely picking up in the UK. Anyway, I see more people charging suit prices, and you know, it's a no-brainer. If you see that it's possible to build this business in the States or anywhere in the world, then it's a no-brainer. It means that it works. It's not like we have to reinvent the wheel and just come up with something completely different for the UK. Maybe, and it's something that I've noticed, maybe people don't want to display that many pictures as some people in the States, but I would use the analogy for weddings. Like, you know, sometimes people say, oh, what am I going to do with so many pictures of myself? But you don't ask the same question when people say, what am I going to do with that many pictures of myself from the wedding? It doesn't mean you have to have them all around your house, but you have them somewhere. And once a year you look at them, or in 20 years time you look at them and it's there, you have them. It's not about whether you have them displayed all around the house. It's about physically having those pictures.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I just was converting pounds to dollars. So that's over $3,000 average. Shoot. That's incredible. So can you tell people about your pricing? Do you have packages? Do you do only a la carte? Do you do, you know, what does that look like?
I have packages. Yes. Yes, Nikki. I have packages. So my session fee now is $299.
Okay.
And that includes, obviously, the styling consultation, the photo shoot, the viewing session, and £100 credit towards any of my collections. I have collections of 4, 10, 20, and 30. My collection of 4 is 1250. Collection of 10 is 2000. Collection of 20 is 2700. And the last one is, I think, 3200. I don't remember it from the top of my head, but these would be numbers that from what I remember. But interestingly, I up my prices every year. I feel because I invest in myself just like everybody should. Yeah. You know, every year I like to do either a workshop or a class with someone whose work I admire. I invest in coaches. I invest in mentors because I just feel that as I grow, I can support others better. I can give my clients better service and I'm becoming more valuable. And, you know, like they say, the more you learn, the more you earn. And that's so important, isn't it? You know, if we were just stuck in, okay, now I'm good and, you know, I'm going to just stay here. But I love learning new things. I love, you know, getting better. And that's something that will never change. And I think our clients appreciate it when they see that we are not just doing the same old, boring thing over and over again. Because sometimes I feel like, I'm doing the same pose. But, you know, if it's the pose that sell every time, then, you know, those people don't know that I'm getting bored with that pose. As long as they love it, that's a win. Because for them, that's the picture that they will have in their home. And if they love it, that's what they're paying for.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a studio or do you photograph outside? And also, do you include hair and makeup in your shoots?
Yes, I have a little studio. It's really tiny and it's now with all the dresses hanging around. It's just getting way too crowded. It's not even funny. It's not too far from where I live. It's about a 10-minute drive. And I have a hair and makeup artist who comes to the shoot. So that's included in the session fee.
In the session fee. Awesome. And then I noticed too on your website, you have some really beautiful destination shoots. Is that something that is priced the same as your typical portraits or is that a little bit different?
It's a little bit different because obviously with the travels, we would need to bring, I would need to bring my team and the dresses and everything. So those packages start at 2,500 plus all the other expenses like obviously accommodation, my makeup artist, and the airfare. I don't do them very often. I did a couple in Paris and Milan. Sadly, I had to stop doing those last year. But hopefully, that it will go back to that. I love them, but it's as you know, it's hard work shooting anywhere outside your studio.
It is. It is. People will say like, but I don't have a studio. Like, I don't know if I can charge those prices. And I'm like, it actually is more work when you don't have a studio. You are just like dealing with the elements and the people and it's so many things can go wrong when you're on location. So I'm with you. There's something just really easy and comfortable about being in a studio that you know the lighting and you know what you've got, you know, everything about your backdrops and how it works. So yeah, for sure. And I think destination shoots, like they're so dreamy and they're so like, you know, it gets the creative mind going and that sort of thing. And hearing you say like, oh, I did it in Milan and Paris or whatever. It sounds amazing, but you're right. It can really be a lot of work. And I think that when people are looking at what they want to do and what they want to shoot, all of this is so important to take into consideration. You know, all of that is.
You're right about that 100%. Although I'm quite lucky because I have my little studio and outside there is like a field and there's a river a little bit further. So every now and then I have a client who says, oh, but I really like those, you know, outdoor shoots. And I'll say, okay, that's fine. We can just start in the studio and then, you know, do some outside. But of course, it's just towards the very end because I don't know. I think anyone can shoot in like outdoor shoots and that's not really what I am. But if a client really wants to have an outdoor family shot, then I'm happy to do it for them, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Now for your portrait packages, do you include prints or any sort of wall portraits and that sort of thing?
So my packages are for folio boxes. So I include prints and folio boxes in my collections and I've started selling wall art as well. I haven't been selling much of it because my studio is really small and it's very hard to display all the wall art. I have one wall that I have framed. I've ordered a few wall art samples from Graphite Studio that I'm going to use in a studio to push more towards, because I love wall art and I have a few of the pictures, like family pictures in our home, and I think it's just so beautiful. So every now and then I have a client who will say, oh, you know, we have this wall, I would love to have the nice print or nice wall art on, mm-hmm. on the wall, but I would say it's like 2 out of 10. But I definitely, that's definitely something that I'm going to be shooting more of this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And I know you said you use Graphy Studio, but are there any UK printing companies that you really love?
I haven't really researched. I think there is one that I've seen. I think it's Print Foundry, but I don't have any samples yet. I've seen Graphy's range for wall, and that looks beautiful. Every now and then I see people sharing those like more collections where they have, like Felicia is doing like more of the wall art. It's almost like a, what you call it? Like it's not the collage. I don't know what you call it.
Like
a gallery. I think it's the gallery that you have two panels mm-hmm. next to each other. And it's super cute. I really like that.
Yeah. Are you talking about Felicia Reed?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She was on the podcast too. She's amazing.
Yeah,
if you guys haven't heard of her episode yet, make sure you listen to it. But yeah, I noticed she's been posting in the group lately some of that wall art. And I feel like wall art is such a great way to do upsells, for sure. But then I can hear people saying, but like, oh, homes in the UK are smaller or whatever, so people aren't going to buy. So I feel like someone's always got an excuse, you know.
There are excuses, but you know, if you want to, again, if you want to find a wall, you will find a wall. If you want it, you will make a space, just like with anything.
Yep, exactly.
I have our in a living room, and I found a space for it. You know, everything just goes if you want to make it happen. Isn't it true?
Yep. Very cool. Well, thank you for sharing just, you know, a little bit about what you do and your story. And Yeah, it's really interesting. I had no idea that you used to work with film and George Clooney and all of that. So that was interesting. Interesting to learn about you. Okay, but I do have a couple more questions for you before we, I almost forgot about them, before we stop. Hang on, let me pull them up. You would think that I would know these by heart by now. Okay, Linka, so number one, what is something you can't live without when you're doing a photo shoot?
Something I can't live without. That will be my spider holster. As you probably,
yes.
I've heard it many times before here, but that's, for me, that's, I've once left it at home and I really had to go back to get it, because obviously shooting weddings, you know, I would used to have like two cameras on my shoulders. I had really bad shoulder pains and back pains. Mm-hmm. And ever since I had my spider holster, that just went from one day to another. So that would be my spider holster. But if I can just add one little thing, because that has been mentioned many times, notepad. I love taking notes before the photo shoot and just mapping out, you know, the outfit. I quite like when my client is in the makeup to just think, okay, how do we map out the outfits with the backdrops? I'm quite focused on the color and the whole harmonies of the colors in the picture. So that's something that I'm quite passionate about, and I like to be prepared and just see what poses would work. So that would be another little add-on.
Yeah. So what do you do when you're not working? How do you spend your time?
When I'm not working, I'm trying to spend as much time with my family as possible. I love watching my son's football games on the weekends. Then we go for walks, and even like in the summer, just little day trips to the seaside or summer holidays in Slovakia with my family and friends. That's something that I really enjoyed. And at the same time, like personal development and education, continuous education is something that I'm really, you know, valuing a lot. So even in my free time, I just love listening to interesting conversations and podcasts and audiobooks, and not always photography related. Obviously, I love listening to photography related conversations, but even like on Clubhouse, sometimes you listen to these people who are entrepreneurs or visionaries or sportsmen who are changing the world. And I just feel it's such an exciting time to be alive and you know, witness and have access to all this information and all this amazing knowledge. So that really fuels me. That's something that I love doing. I don't really watch TV. And ever since I've been on the Clubhouse, I haven't really watched anything on Netflix. So it's my relax. Yeah. I just love, listening to interesting conversations.
Yeah. Very cool. Number three is, what is your favorite inspirational quote?
So I think it has been mentioned before, and it would be the quote from Paul J. Mayer. And it goes, whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, sincerely believe, and enthusiastically act upon must inevitably come to pass. And what the way I just think it sums up everything that I hold dear and everything that I believe in, from law of attraction through manifestation and just going after what you want.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. What a great, powerful quote. I love that. Yeah. Cool. Okay, number four, what would you tell people who are just starting out?
There are three things that I've learned on this journey that I would recommend or that I would advise anyone to get anyone getting started, and it would be having the right mindset. I think it's so important. Yeah. Like, I'm sure you know the quote from Henry Ford that says, whatever you believe you can or you can't, you're right. And it's like, I tell you, example, when I was starting out, I felt like when I shared with my husband that I want to be the best photographer in my area, charging £2,000, he said, I don't think it's possible. I think people in the UK will never pay that amount of money, maybe in America, but not in the UK. And you see, I had two choices. I could have said, okay, you're right, it's not possible. But I knew those are his limiting beliefs, not mine. So for me, if you believe in something, you will go and find a way and make it happen, which brings me to number two. And I think, take action. That's, you know, it's all well and good to watch all the videos and you know, educate yourself. But if you don't go and start doing it, so start shooting, start practicing, you know, find a way. How important that is. You know, you can't just, you know, sit there and wait that things will start happening. You have to go and get it. And thirdly, for me, it would be find your tribe. Surround yourself with people who are on the same journey and people who are like-minded, who will lift you up, who will cheer you on. And that's where Superwise Education comes in place. Like, you know, all those friendships that we've made thanks to the group, is those are friendships for life. And these are the people who, you know, lift you up when you need it. You know, we cheer each other's on and we celebrate our successes. We're there for each other when things get hard. But this is so important. So, you know, just to sum it up, you have the right mindset, take action, and find your tribe. I think those would be the three things that I would recommend to anyone who's just starting out.
Yeah, such wise, wise words to live by. Truly, truly. Those three things have helped me in my life tremendously. So yeah, I love that. I love that you
said
that.
Same here, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, and then actually I do have one more question. Where can people find you if they're looking for you online?
Of course. So my website is lenkajonesportraits.com. So it would be my name, LENKAJONES, portraits.com. And on Instagram, it would be at lenkajonesportraits.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I hope people will follow you and find you because you have beautiful work. And you're just a beautiful person in general. So yeah.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
I always love your energy and just So anyway, thank you for being on the podcast. And
thank you for having me. I've had a great time and I absolutely love your podcast. You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you. And you do some of our thank you. And you do some of our Clubhouse stuff too for
us. So. No, we started that. It's just getting me out of my comfort zone. Like I said, you know, every day just do something different that will, you know, push you a little bit further, and I'm really enjoying it. It's lovely to be in the rooms and just listening to interesting conversations, like I said, and a few of our members are now joining in and coming up on the stage. So I think it's great. So hopefully more people will come.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Lenka. And again, that's lenkajonesportrait.com. And awesome. I will see you thank online you. Soon, hopefully in person at some point this year.
Oh, yes. Fingers crossed.
All right. You take care. I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye, Nikki.
Thank you so much for listening to the Portrait System podcast. Your 5-star reviews really help us to continue what we do. So if you like listening, would you mind giving us a review wherever you listen? I also encourage you to head over to SueBriceEducation.com where you can find all of the education you need to be a successful photographer. There are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 90-day startup challenge plus so many downloads showing hundreds of different poses. We have to-do checklists for your business, lighting PDFs, I mean truly everything to help make you a better photographer and to make you more money. Once again, that's SueBriceEducation.com. It's time for me to tell you about this episode's sponsor, Fujifilm North America. If you haven't experienced portraits and wedding scenes created on the large format GFX system digital camera sensor, you are missing out. Along with up to 102 megapixel resolution, you'll find rich colors and gorgeous in-camera looks. There's also AI-driven subject detection and 8 frames per second bursts inside the compact GFX 100 digital camera. Hit the link in this episode's description to view the products. It's time to dream big in your creative process.